Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. On Vermont's west coast, we've got Lake Champlain, sometimes referred to as the Sixth Great Lake. And while it may seem pretty calm right now to the casual observer, lake scientists know that it is kicking up a storm. It's currently undergoing turnover and seiche as we speak. Here to explain exactly what that all means is Breck Bowden, director of the Lake Champlain Sea Grant Program. Breck, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thanks, Jane. I appreciate the invitation to chat with you today.
Let's start with turnover. So normally, if you're swimming around in a lake in the summertime, you'll probably notice that the water is warmer on top. You know, it's getting heated by the sun. It's next to the warm air. And then if you dive down to the bottom, the water feels a lot colder. Cold water is more dense than warm water generally, so that cold water is sinking. But during turnover, also sometimes called inversion, the warm water sinks. How's that happening?
So what's happening is that one of the most unusual and least known properties of water, actually. So you've set things up nicely. In the summer, we have the warmer water that's on the top. And just like warm air rises and cold air sinks, warm water rises and the colder water sinks. And that sets up a situation that lake scientists refer to as stratification. As the season progresses and we got cooler temperatures during the fall, those surface waters begin to cool down. And at some point, they reach a temperature that's more or less the same temperature as the bottom water. And at that point, there's no longer a density difference. And that's when we get this turnover of water that occurs. Now, as the water begins to cool further, it reaches a particular point. And at 39 degrees Fahrenheit, more or less, about 4 degrees centigrade, water undergoes a change that no other substance that we know of really undergoes. And that's that it, as the water begins to get cooler, it actually begins to get less dense. And so as a consequence, that cooler water, as it approaches the freezing point, begins to float. And finally, at the freezing point, when we create ice, it becomes considerably less dense, and we have the ice floating on the surface of the lake. If it weren't for that peculiarity in water, which we see in no other natural substance, lakes would freeze from the bottom, or they'd freeze solid, and life on Earth would be completely different.
It's so cool. I mean, that's just such an interesting thing, Breck. But do we know why that happens? Why this is a property of water only?
It's a property of what's called the hydrogen bond. So most people probably know that water is called H2O. It's made up of one molecule of oxygen and two molecules of hydrogen. And those hydrogens on different molecules interact with each other, and that interaction is temperature dependent. And so as it approaches this critical point at about 39 degrees Fahrenheit, that interaction begins to change. And literally what's happening is that the water is becoming more like a solid in that interval between 39 degrees and 32 degrees, where it finally does become a solid. Basically, the water molecules are kind of elbowing each other and making a little bit more room, and that makes it less dense, which causes it to float.
And is this happening right around now, or when are we going to see this?
The temperatures are, well, as we've seen in the last week, the temperatures have fallen considerably, but it will take a long time for the lake to cool off. There's a lot of what's called thermal mass in water. So even though our air temperatures are cooling quickly, the water will lag for some period of time. And so it will be deep into the fall, into November or December, before we start hitting that position.
So you mentioned that if we didn't have this property of water, life as we know it would not exist. Because, you know, in the wintertime, when lakes freeze over, there's non-frozen water at the bottom. And so things like, you know, aquatic life like turtles and fish can survive in the lake. So what happens to all of our aquatic lake and to things like algae at this time?
Well, those are good questions. And actually, some of the research that we're trying to do in the Vermont EPSCoR program on research on adaptation to climate change is focused on some of those questions. Because while we know a lot about what's happening in lakes during the good portion of the year when it's warm and nice to be out on the lake.
Boy, that's a judgment.
We know a lot less, actually, about what's happening when lakes or embayments are frozen.
Hmm.
So the frozen conditions are creating conditions that allow life to exist. The bottom water in the lake is not getting too much below about this level of 39 degrees Fahrenheit or 4 degrees centigrade, and that's plenty warm enough for a lot of organisms to at least hang out until the next year and they can access other parts of the lake again.
So we've been talking about this process called turnover and this really unique property of water, but there's another phenomenon that occurs on the lake called seiche. Can you explain that?
Sure. So a seiche is related to the activity, related to this stratification that's occurring in the lake. So if you imagine the lake as being this long, narrow cake that's kind of thick, and it's got two layers to it. The upper layer is the warmer water we've been talking about, and the lower layer is the colder water. And there's a layer of icing in between there that's this very rapid transition that you just described when we got on the phone of the warmer water going to the colder water. Now, if you've got that visualized, that layer of transition in temperature, which scientists refer to as a thermocline, a temperature gradient, is flat. Now, let's start blowing water down the length of my lake or down my cake. What's going to happen is that the air begins to drag the water with it. And as the water blows, if the water blows hard enough and long enough, it will actually pile some water up at the downwind end of the lake. And that's what we call a surface seiche. When the wind stops blowing, the water will rock back and forth from the higher level at one end of the lake to the lower end at the other end of the lake. And some very nice work done by Tom and Pat Manley at Middlebury College has demonstrated those phenomena. Now, the degree to which the water is piling up is actually fairly small. It may be only a few inches, and the rocking back and forth is on a period of about 4 hours or so. But something that we don't see going on is that as that water's being blown to the far end of the lake, it's actually piling up below, too. And so now what I'd like you to imagine is my layer cake with that middle icing layer tilted so that I basically have two wedges that are interlocking. I have the surface water that's warmer at the down end side of the lake and the colder water that's thicker at the down end of the lake. When the wind stops blowing, that now begins to rock back and forth too, but there's two very different characteristics. One is that the excursion of that layer moving up and down is now on the order of tens of feet, upwards of 50 feet, and the water is moving at quite high velocities, many feet per hour, so that we can transport large quantities of water and large quantities of material that is dissolved in the water up and down the lake as this so-called internal seiche is going on.
Wow, this is so cool. Breck Bowden, I really want to thank you for giving us such a fascinating science lesson about what's happening on our lakes. Thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jane.
Breck Bowden is the director of the Lake Champlain Sea Grant Program.